Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You know those parking tickets you've been stuffing in your glove box? Well, they're about to get a lot more expensive. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has announced a major new transportation strategy this week, and the plan's centerpiece, a big increase in fines for parking violations. And why? Well, first of all, Chris Osgood, Boston's chief of streets, transportation, and sanitation, says, well, there's been a huge rise in illegal parking.
The requests for parking enforcement in the city of Boston have skyrocketed over the last 4 years, from 4,500 to 35,000 over a four-year time period.
So the city wants to raise parking penalties, in some cases up to $90 for certain violations. Take that, you chronic double parkers. Now, that could raise some $5 million to help with Boston's bigger goal, and that is discouraging driving habits that make congestion worse and making more space on city streets for buses, bicycles, and ride-hailing services. But here's the thing. Just how effective can punitive parking fines be when major transportation alternatives that people ostensibly would take, mainly the MBTA, still struggle to serve the customers it already has? So will this new transportation proposal get people out of their cars or just further enrage the already volcanic aggression of the congestion-crazed Boston driver? Would love to hear from you and what you think about this. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or if you'd rather, you can fire off a tweet at me. I'm at Radio Boston. Tell us more of what you think of major new parking penalties that could provide some funding for alternative forms of transportation. Joining us now with more is Jim Aloisi. He's former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation. He's currently a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. Jim, it's good to have you back.
It's nice to be back, Meghna.
And also with us in the studio is Raphael Maris. He is the Vice President of Healthy Communities and Environmental Justice at the Conservation Law Foundation. Raphael, it's good to see you as well.
It's nice to be here.
Okay, so let me first get just a first swing from both of you. Mayor Walsh has put forth this plan. It's got a big set of goals, but what do you think about using the lever of parking penalties to change transportation habits? Raphael, let me start with you.
I think it's a good idea.
Just made like thousands of people very angry.
No, I mean, I know what it's like to get a parking ticket, believe me, and it's not pleasant. And we can probably all sort of summon the feeling just by thinking about that moment. And it's not a good feeling. But the reality is we have some control over it. We don't have to double park. We don't have to park in a place where in a space you're not supposed to park. We can avoid it. If you were increasing fares for the MBTA, that's not something we can avoid. We all need to go where we're going. So I think that's a good way of going. And I think you need to think about where the money is spent, not how it's just how it's raised.
Okay, so I'm going to get to that in just a second. But Jim wanted to get your thoughts here.
So I applaud the mayor and his team for doing this. I think we have to understand in this arena that we're talking about, the city has very few tools in the toolbox.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things I hope we can talk about, for example, is getting the legislature and the governor to enact legislation that would empower all cities and towns, including Boston, Cambridge, and places like that, to do more proactively in connection with raising money for sustainable mobility. So what the city is doing now, to its credit, is it's targeting the scoff laws, and it's saying, okay, you're going to pay actually more equitably for the inconvenience and the disruption that you're causing, and we're going to dedicate that revenue to sustainable mobility in the city.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, right?
Okay, let me just first ask you both, and I might be sounding facetious, but I mean this with all sincerity. I mean, a doubling in parking violation fines, it seems like a lot. But on the other hand, we're talking about Boston drivers here. I mean, I wasn't joking when I said people just like ignore the tickets or stuff them in their, in their glove boxes. Like, how much could this nudge, this economic nudge, seriously change behavior in Boston? Raphael, what do you think?
I think it would impact a lot of people. Some probably calculate it out and figure out how many times they get caught and they'll keep doing it. And maybe that calculation will change a little bit. But for others, it's just a bigger shock. And as a result, they will fall into place. But the money that's raised by the ones that continue to do this will benefit everyone. because it will create reduced traffic and will reduce the need for parking probably. And so maybe people will not actually have to double park.
Well, that's the hope, right? I mean, but Jim, do you think it can produce sort of a measurable, discernible, or impactful change?
Unlikely, but you know, here's my reaction to that. Why do we care? As long as those people want to keep spending a lot of money that will then help us build safer cycling lanes and dedicated bus lanes, fine. I mean, look, I'm not a big believer in behavioral change, but I am a believer in finding appropriate transportation-related ways to raise new revenue for sustainable mobility. So if you want to double park and you don't mind paying these extra fares, and that money's going to go to good use, more power to you.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I guess I care because the city's saying that it could raise $5 million, but that's an estimate.
It's an estimate. And keep in mind, Meghna, if everyone then is deterred from bad behavior, then the $5 million becomes zero.
That's right.
So it's a simple math. So $5 million assumes a threshold of scofflaws who are going to be there doing what they shouldn't be doing and having that money go to a better use. And the better use is really what we're talking about. We're trying to find creative ways to generate the net new revenue that we need to provide people with the kind of sustainable mobility that we know everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you know what's interesting? Like the parking violations and the increased fines are sort of the headline-grabbing part of this plan. But, I mean, it's an important lever in terms of creating meaningful change on the streets of Boston here. But the city also wants to do things like change traffic patterns, traffic light patterns to maybe ease congestion that way. But I wanted to talk about this idea of creating space for, you know, getting the cars off the street, or at least some of them, to create space for things like buses and bicycles and even sort of pull-out areas for ride-hailing services, which is also part of Marty Walsh's plan here. So, Rafael, your thoughts on those ideas and what it'll take to actually roll them out?
Let's take the buses first.
Yeah.
Buses operate in the same traffic as cars, and as a result, as everybody knows, they have a hard time staying on schedule. Buses bunch together, so you'll see one bus come and then immediately another one, and then for a long time, you'll have to wait for a long time to get the next one. That doesn't work, and it's not reliable, and therefore a lot of people who have a choice will not actually use the system. If you can change that by having dedicated bus lanes, by having signal prioritization, so the light will switch when the bus comes so that it can go through the intersection, you can keep them on a reliable, regular schedule, more people will rely on public transportation and as a result won't be driving, thereby reducing traffic and the need for parking.
Mm-hmm. Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, think about the size of a car and the size of a bus. You have three cars, one bus, three cars with a total of three people taking up all of that real estate on the street, and that one bus with maybe 50 people on it, same real estate. So we need to think about ways to give that bus priority because it's doing a better job moving more people sustainably.
Yeah.
And so what the city is beginning to do when it thinks about dedicated lanes, when it thinks about traffic signal priority, it's basically bringing the city into the 21st century. It's what's happening. You know, Cleveland does this and it does it really well on what they call their health line. Boston needs to do much more in connection with taking the bus transit experience and raising it to a level where it's a first quality experience. And that's what Boston is saying.
So just to be clear, in terms of the dedicated bus lanes, Rafael, am I looking at this right? That the city is going to test a dedicated bus lane, what, in Washington Street in Roslindale sometime soon?
That's a first step,
yeah.
Right? And the T has already tested that, and we have a successful one in Everett. And so the idea is to create more spaces like that and to make sure that the buses have a chance of running on a regular schedule.
Okay. So, I mean, I love this idea. I do, because you're exactly right. There are some of the major challenges to getting more people on the bus is that sometimes it takes too long and it's hard to get off and on. You know, they're like very functional challenges, which would be eliminated by dedicated bus lanes. But Jim and Rafael, I mean, aside from, you know, a test on Washington Street in Roslindale, I'm genuinely curious about the infrastructure of the city of Boston and whether how many dedicated bus lanes it can actually support. Where would they go, Jim?
Well, you get a lot of places. Let's take the Dudley Square to downtown corridor along Washington Street. what the folks have done up till now is paint a particular part of the street red and say it's a bus lane. But that street's wide enough to have a dedicated bus rapid transit lane. And by the way, the reason why that's not a dedicated lane today is to get too many people, what? Double parking.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing up and down Summer Street, Magna. When you leave South Station and cross the Channel Bridge, Summer Street's wide enough to do bus rapid transit in a dedicated lane all the way up to the Flynn Maritime District. You
okay.
can do this on Mass Ave with the one bus. There are lots of places in Boston and Cambridge in particular where bus rapid transit or dedicated bus lanes can be put into use without having any significant negative impact
right.
on vehicular. Now, you're going to have an impact on parking, but we have to be honest and recognize that parking is one of the worst enemies we have in urban environments to a more sustainable mobility platform. It simply is. And so if we're going to get people to shift from their cars onto transit, we need to begin by assessing the cost of driving, and one of the biggest costs of driving is associated with is parking.
Right. So on that point, let's get some callers in here. Jackson is calling from Concord. You're on the air, Jackson.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, how can people respond to punitive parking fees if they don't know either, A, if they're going to get a fee, or B, what the fee is going to be? I've gotten tickets that I've gotten waived because the signage was inaccurate, and I have no idea how much that cost the city is inaccurate ticketing. So what efforts are there to have people know about what these signs are before they get them so that they can put more effort into avoiding them?
I see. Okay, so Jackson, thank you so much for your call. I'm sure the city, right now the city has a proposal laid out. It has to be approved by the city council as part of a budgetary measure. So if indeed it goes forward, I presume, one would hope, Raphael, that Mayor Walsh's administration would do a pretty good job in telling everyone what the new fines are.
Yes, and I think the enforcement also would have to be appropriate, to follow.
Well, they have to increase the enforcement,
and so
yeah.
If you think that you're putting a proposal like that forward, you want to make sure that you are actually assessing fines only when they're appropriate and not when the signage doesn't reflect that information.
All right, let's get another call here. John's calling from the South End. You're on the air, John.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have 2 points, but I'll be quick. One is on enforcement. I don't really think that the price of the ticket matters as long as you know you're going to get a ticket when you do something wrong. And right now, you can double park, and that's just fine. And by doubling the ticket, when you do get caught, it costs twice as much, but you're still not going to get caught. They're not going to enforce it.
I couldn't agree with you more, John. I mean, this is one of my major pet peeves. It feels like we've just been allowing bad behavior to develop because, as you're saying, it's pretty obvious that a lot of it doesn't get enforced. But to that note, it seems like the administration is planning to hire some 20 more staffers or so for the transportation department. So maybe we'll get some help there in enforcing the laws that we already have.
Which is, I guess that's nice. I don't know what 20 represents out of the enforcement overall in the city. But my other point is they spent time and money painting the grids and putting up signs, don't block the grid. Constantly blocked, including by the double-long city buses who are trying to keep to their schedule by blocking the grid for the buses behind them and in front of them. It's just a selfish way to just keep blocking the streets, and it's obviously not just buses. But that would be a great thing. New York solved that problem in the 1970s when the entire city was gridlocked by putting points on your license for insurance and a hefty fine, and then the streets would open right up.
Wow. John, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another call in here. Lots of people have complaints about bad parking in Boston. Marina is calling from Medford. You're on the air, Marina.
Hi there. So I'm a freelance musician, and I do a lot of driving for work, and I'm appalled by the amount of double parking and just bad behavior that I see. And I applaud the city's efforts, but I actually would love to see them take bigger steps. Like turning Newbury Street into a pedestrian thoroughfare or putting tolls on cars that come downtown like other big cities do.
Yeah. Marina, thank you so much for your call. Jim Aloisi, what do you think about those ideas that she just shared?
Well, I think they're great ideas. I think the city has experimented with Newbury Street, and I think the city is taking a good first step. I don't think anybody doubts that this is only that. It's only a first step, but every first step has to be taken. In terms of cordon pricing or pricing people driving into the city, that's going to have to be a state led initiative. And what I'm hoping will happen here, Meghna, is that the mayor's leadership here may spark additional leadership on the part of folks in the legislature and the executive branch to do more at the state level, because as I said earlier, the city under our system is really constrained in terms of how much it can do, but it's showing real leadership here in beginning a process that I think will grow over time.
Right. So this is the point at which Rafael Maris, we should talk about sort of if we're trying to get people out of their cars, right, and we're trying to decrease the amount of gridlock and congestion in greater Boston, we're trying to get them to use other forms of transportation, right? Bicycling, perhaps ride hailing, walking, but the MBTA, right? I mean, we were talking about buses before. So on the one hand, we have this great announcement that the T is clearly trying to expand some bus service. They're adding some early morning buses. But on the other hand, there's also word that the T has said it's been forced to cancel hundreds of bus routes per day because they don't have enough drivers already to serve the routes that they have. So, I mean, I think we've had a version of this conversation probably 100 times on this show, but if we're trying to get people to change modes of transportation, we also have to help. We have to improve the places we're trying to get them to go, the means by which we're trying to get them to move around the city.
You definitely have to make their options, the choices, better. You can't expect people to stop driving if they don't have a good alternative. We all need to be able to get where we're going. And when it comes to a bus trip being canceled unexpectedly, I think we sometimes look at it statistically and think, you know what, how many trips were canceled out of, you know, how many trips the T takes in a regular day, and it seems small. But when you're standing there,
it's terrible.
You're late for a job interview and the bus just suddenly doesn't show up. Or if you're just trying to get to work on time, or if you're supposed to pick up your child, or you're standing in the rain with your young child and the bus doesn't show up and you have to wait a half an hour or an hour for the next one to come, that doesn't work. And you never know when that happens, so you can never rely on the system. So that has to be brought to a bare minimum, if not eradicated completely.
Well, I mean, Jim Aloisi, the T itself is saying that right now they're seeing four times what they consider a normal standard of in terms of dropped routes for buses.
Well, it's distressing to hear that. I don't know if the issue is they need more bus drivers. You know, if they need more bus drivers, one solution is to call back retired bus drivers. It's going to be cheaper for the T because they're not going to need benefits. They've retired, and after a year out of service, they can come back and work. So there are lots of strategies that the T can consider using if what it needs is to hire more bus drivers. I think that, you know, I'm confident that this Fiscal Management Control Board will be on top of that, so I'm not worried about it. But it points to the importance of bus transit as a feature of how we're going to improve sustainable mobility in the city. I think with the mayor announcing the development of a new transit team that is going to be focused like a laser beam on bus transit, on transit signal priority, and designing new bus lanes, that is going to spark the T to actually be more energetic in working with the city and other cities.
Well, let me just get a call. Jim, sorry for interrupting you here, but I want to get a call from Andrew, who's calling from Cambridge, who's going to make a point exactly about what we're talking about buses. Andrew, you're on the air.
One critical part of the puzzle, I think, is this new transit team that the mayor just proposed today. Having five or six staffers working within the city of Boston, trying to figure out where we're seeing bottlenecks on our streets, whether it's Blue Hill Ave, Washington Street in Rosendale, Washington Street along the Silver Line, and fixing those problems will be critical to getting more people moving on our buses and more people moving on our streets, too. So I think that this is really, really amazing, and I'm really excited to see this proposal move forward from the mayor's office.
Andrew, thank you so much for your call. Rafael, Jim a couple of times has said in this conversation that he applauds Mayor Walsh because, you know, a mayor can only do what he or she can do on the municipal level, but that really the long-term solutions require regional and state-level action as well. I mean, do you hope that, as Jim is saying, that perhaps this act of transportation leadership could inspire greater action at the state level?
I think it can. I think we need to look at ideas from other parts of the country. There's a bill pending now in Massachusetts around regional ballot initiatives that will allow individual municipalities or groups of municipalities to have a ballot initiative that can raise money for specific transportation purposes. Mm-hmm. And so if you had empowered municipalities to be able to invest, they would have a broader range of tools than what the mayor has to use in order to advance this agenda.
Yeah. You know, one thing we didn't talk about was ride-hailing services, because, I mean, those are still cars. And I'm not seeing anything in this plan that says it might want to attack that aspect. In fact, I feel like they want to make it easier to get on and off ride-hailing services.
They are a significant problem. Mm-hmm. About half of the miles traveled by ride-hailing vehicles are without a passenger. They're wasted trips.
Just like between trips.
Exactly. Okay. So if you're going somewhere for 10 miles, you're really almost, you know, have a car traveling for almost 20 miles. So it is really not an efficient way right now to get around. I know it's convenient, but it is not efficient from a transportation system perspective.
Yeah. Jim, did you have a thought about that?
Well, again, I think we need to do a better job at the state level regulating these companies like Uber and Lyft. The legislature, the governor, put into place a law a little while ago, a year or so ago, and it's completely inadequate to the task, right? So we need to have a regulatory scheme and a framework that is appropriately charging for the impacts that these transportation network companies are having on the environment and on congestion. Chicago's putting a significant assessment on that's being dedicated to transit.
Yep.
We need to be doing more than what we're doing. We have been laggards in this, and we have to stop being laggards. And it's, again, this is a state and city responsibility jointly to get this right. We need to get it right.
Jim Aloisi is the former Secretary of Transportation for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. He's a principal now at the Pemberton Square Group. Jim, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Magda.
And Rafael Maris, Vice President of Healthy Communities and Environmental Justice at the Conservation Law Foundation. Thank you as well for coming in.
Thank you.
And by the way, you know, to get back to those fines, those doubled parking fines, some of that money, $2 million, the city says, could go to road resurfacing and improvements to the city's 800 traffic signals. That would be very, very welcome. Let us know what you think about these ideas. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston. And that's it for today. I'm Megan Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.